The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, yesterday during Dukes and Bell, they got a little piece of breaking news. Breaking news on Sports Radio 92.9. The game is brought to you by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. And that breaking news during Dukes and Bell last night was that Carson Beck has entered the transfer portal. Now, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back here, but about...
Allow you to do that then.
Yeah, myself to do this. A couple of weeks ago when we were talking about Carson Beck, I told you that if I was him, I would think heavily about entering the transfer portal. And it just has a lot to do with money. Unfortunately, that's kind of where we're at in college football. And Carson Beck still has the ability in college football to make a lot of money, given the right circumstances. And I think that's where he kind of found himself in this entire situation, is the ability to make a lot of money.
I mean, that's a really good point. The base salary for Michael Penix this year is $960,000 as the 8th overall pick. Yes, he got a guaranteed $22 million contract, right? But the point I'm making is Carson Beck could probably go back and make $3 to $7 million as a starting quarterback at a power four school.
The rumor that Quinn Ewers has had $6 million offers and he's not even in the portal leads me to believe that I would think that Carson Beck's got to be at least in the $5 million range.
I think Arch Manning's making more than Quinn Ewers, I think. And I know Shedeur Sanders made a boatload last year.
I was under the impression that Arch wasn't making as much because his family didn't want him to just yet.
I don't know. I thought I saw something for a deal. You could be right. But the point is look, it's a win-win for Carson. Most likely, you're making what $3 to $7 million. So spend it right. No, you don't need another Lamborghini. That Cavender twins got her own money.
He's marrying up with that.
So stockpile it, and then if you are a first round pick next year, if you work your way back to a high first round pick, you're gonna have another $22 million in the bank or 23 or 24 because the cap goes up next year. So does that number.
Well, work your way back into the first round, and look, it's all about zeros. If you can get between $4 and $6 million guaranteed. And you still have the ability to go to the draft next year, and you can improve that draft stock. Here's what I have as far as the first pick of the second and third round. Now, I don't know what draft grade he was getting. I don't know what feedback he was getting. He did not sign with an NFL licensed agent, but he still has his college guys, whoever he's using. Keon Coleman was the first pick of the second round, $4 million signing bonus, and $9 million guaranteed over his 4 years.
Yeah, and that's not
– over his 4 years now.
And that's going to go up this year because the cap's going to go up at least $20 to $30 million. It's going to be close to $300 million this year.
So Malachi Corley, the wide receiver out of, I think, Western Kentucky, he was the first pick of the third round. He's 4 years, $6 million guaranteed, $1.2 guaranteed, $6 million contract.
I think Drew Aller comes back this year.
And probably needs to get that bad taste out of his mouth after last night.
So I think right now, if you were telling me 2026, it'd be the two that pop off my head first are Drew Aller and Carson Beck. Just off the top of my head. I mean, I know that there are other guys out there. And look, I don't know what if you guys haven't figured this out yet, but big arm, power four school with good record and kind of follow things, that gets you hype as a quarterback, and then go sling it around and show that arm strength off at the combine or your workout. And it's easy for quarterback. Trey Lance was taken with a third overall pick.
Yeah.
So, or fourth overall. So Anthony Richardson played like 13 college football games and was the fifth overall pick, I think. So talent rises up, and that'll get you drafted.
You know what's interesting about this, too, and I obviously do a lot of Bama talking. I thought that this is exactly what I said that Jalen Milroe should do. I think Bama and I think that they're ready to move on from him, but Jalen Milroe can still make a lot of money at a different program.
You know where Jalen?
Somebody's going to look at Jalen and go, "This okay, let's bring him in here."
What about Notre Dame? Isn't Riley Leonard done? Now, yeah. I know they got that other kid that came in and played with Angeline or Angelina or something, but
yeah, and played well.
Yeah,
and played well last.
But imagine because they like to run it, and they're a run based team. I mean, they're a run first football team.
Yeah,
you can do it. They're not afraid to do a lot of. They would use him more, I think, in design runs. But I don't. I got the feeling from, and it might have been you that had told me. I heard someone around there basically said. There's being pressure on Alabama's coaches to make him a pocket, like to have him sling it as many times as possible, and he doesn't want to use the legs part of his game.
Yeah,
which I think is I think that's a disservice to him.
I think it absolutely is. But unless that pressure is coming from him and his camp, then
then
it's his fault.
That's where I'd heard it was from his camp. And my point is. Why not use your legs to make you, as you develop in the pocket, and then you can get to a certain point. Like we've seen guys like, you know, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That would
serve Jalen Milroe pretty well, I think, to go to a system. Although I feel like he was probably in a similar system this year, as similar as you're going to find in college football. Now, I have to say this before we move on. Rusty Menzel joined Dukes and Bell last night, and he was like, he jumped on as it was breaking news that Carson Beck was leaving. They get him on air, and he had a comment that was really interesting to me, Bo, and I'm curious to get your take on this. He said, "I have no inside information on this, but my initial thought is Miami."
It
makes a lot of sense, dude.
But
a lot of sense.
The first thing people say is, "Yes, where his girlfriend lives." And sure, I guess it's the most obvious for multiple reasons. He's from the state. They have Cam Ward, who just is gone. He's going to the NFL. They have NIL money. They have that donor. Is it Ruiz, I think is his name? I don't even know
who their main donors are anymore.
No,
the Shapiro guy's all over Instagram these days.
I think that guy lost his money. But they had a guy pop up who owns a law firm down there or something, and he's a big Miami donor, and he's the one that's been funding all the money. Like when the NIL started taking off, he was the one throwing big money. So you know the money's there. It's getting to the point for Mario Cristobal where they don't have patience there. Like a lot of schools, the money that they're getting in from the one donor, they don't have the patience. He's kind of in a win this next season, or things could get murky there for him.
Well, and didn't this happen last year with Cam Ward? Didn't Cam Ward say he was going to the NFL and he got talked into going to Miami?
I
want to say that scenario played out last year, so it makes a lot of sense from that aspect where you go, oh, that guy declared for the draft. Wait a second. I bet I can talk him out of that.
It's John Ruiz, he's a big attorney down there. It was him. He funded some of the stadium stuff. He's their big money guy right now.
Right.
And so I think there's pressure. So I think that's why all the signs point to they'll go all out to get a veteran quarterback who they know knows how to win. But it's also
a great selling point for Carson Beck. Hey. Would you like to remake your image and possibly be a top five pick?
And
guess what? We just did that with our last guy.
They play defense in the Big Ten. They play defense in the SEC. The defenses are not as good in the ACC. I'm not saying they're bad. You still got there's a few teams here. You don't know Florida State's a complete outlier. You got to play Florida next year. It's at home. So that's an SEC school with big hopes that you could get to go against, and you could showcase yourself.
I was going
to
say it's a game where you possibly showcase whatever your skill set is. So I think that's going to be it'd be interesting to see where Beck does end up. I thought that was really interesting coming out of Rusty just saying, "Hey, my initial inkling," because it does for a lot of different reasons. Miami would make sense for Carson Beck. Also, look, man, and this is where I'll leave it. CBS put out an article yesterday. CBS Sports did, and from some of their writers. And it basically opened up the window and allowed you to look into the Georgia program. This was written by Matt Zenitz and Brandon Marcello about the tension that was kind of around the Carson Beck situation with the University of Georgia over the last month or so. And basically saying that Kirby Smart only got a small heads up before the news came out yesterday that, hey, he's actually going to come back to college and he's going to be in the transfer portal. Sounds to me like Georgia, according to this article, sounds like Georgia's camp had a lot of questions about where Carson Beck was and what he was doing in the buildup to the Sugar Bowl. It was like he was not around the team. Now, of course, it was reported he's getting second opinions, but it sounds like he wasn't around at all.
Well, he was down there, though. Article. So, that's
a
weird thing.
He was on the sideline because he was standing next to DJ Shockley.
I mean, I don't know. I think I think a lot has been overly blown about Carson Beck. I think he gets a lot of unfair criticism. You know, he gets blamed. He made some bad decisions with the football last season, but he also didn't get a lot of help. And when you don't get help, when you're getting pressured early and often, when you're throwing dimes and they're just getting dropped, you put a little extra pressure to make the perfect play. I think the pressure of the national championship too, the run game was nowhere near as consistent as it's been in the past. You just all around had the worst weapons you've had in years.
Yeah,
this
there's
year.
No, like 2 years ago, he had to be a complimentary piece. Last year, he had to be the absolute centerpiece of what they were trying to do.
And if you want to say, well, he folded under the pressure, then that's fine. I think that's a little unfair, though, because I just don't think to me, it was the worst offensive team Kirby's probably had since 2016.
All right, college football playoff obviously finished up yesterday, and Riley Leonard and Notre Dame are going to make it, obviously, to the national championship game. That'll be played here in Atlanta next Monday.
I had a conundrum watching this game.
Yeah?
Because
27-24 is the final.
Notre Dame, my neighbor pulls for them, and then Penn State, Mike Conte, and I'm very close to both these guys. So I was just trying to be neutral. But, man, it's hard not to pull for Marcus Freeman the way he coaches.
I know, dude.
Like,
I know.
The way he handles stuff. Like, it's you know he's just seething inside, but he's smiling, and he's like, you got to be kidding me. And I just – his poise and his – dude, he gives up way too much information in his post-game – his halftime – speech or interview?
Yeah,
I'm like, dude, you're telling too much,
right?
Like, hey, no,
keep
stop,
a lid on it.
Stop.
Hey, keep a lid
stop.
On it.
Stop. Stop saying that. But man, he's so likable. He's so easy to pull for, and it makes it hard because I hate Notre Dame.
Riley Leonard, is he an NFL quarterback? Watching yesterday, I couldn't really decide. He made a couple of throws. I was like, wow. And there were other times I was like, I don't think so.
I think he's a guy that's going to get drafted. And I think he's a guy that someone's going to say, let's put him behind a guy and develop.
Would it be fair to label him as a poor man's Bo Nix at this point? Runs a little bit, doesn't play to run, can throw a little bit. I think Bo Nix is way better with his arm.
I think there are a lot of signs that remind them of each other, but the I have never seen the velocity and the accuracy from Riley Leonard to the point that Bo Nix has.
Yeah, not even a poor man.
I think people way underestimate Bo Nix's arm. I don't think his Penix is good. I don't think he's got the arm Penix does, but I think it's close.
Yeah.
I just don't think he can
the
make
the howitzer.
I don't think he I don't to me Bo Nix doesn't make the throw that Penix does to Kadarius Hodge.